As always, it's good to see each one here on this very cold Lord's Day in January. We're glad that you're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord willing, Jason will be delivering the lesson tonight at 6, and as always, again, we invite you back each time that we have services, whether it be Sunday night, Wednesday night, or any of our other various events. And so please come back tonight, and we'll hear another message from God's Word and be able to have some time to fellowship and support one another. So therefore, as I had promised a few weeks ago in this particular sermon series about overcoming and being more than conquerors, to do it on Sunday nights with Jason then preaching tonight, I've moved my lesson on overcoming to this morning. And so we want to do the next particular installment and then this particular series. And as we saw already how to overcome anxiety, dealing with loneliness, this morning we want to talk about anger and overcoming anger. This is a most interesting topic in many ways because we know that anger at times can be very destructive, very detrimental, very damaging in relationships. However, anger per se is not a sin. It's how we use it, and whether we use it destructively or whether we use it constructively. And so as we talk about overcoming anger, I think we should point out first and foremost in our lesson today that anger by itself is not necessarily sinful. It's how we use it and what it spawns that becomes very damaging and very destructive. And so, again, this morning we want to talk about anger in a very constructive way and how to head off the destructive side of anger. When anger becomes destructive, it becomes something as aggression. We'll practice unforgiveness and even harbor feelings of revenge. But anger can be constructive. It can be very positive in our life if it motivates us to correct an injustice or wrong that has come our way. And it may even allow us to think creatively of solutions to problems and how to deal with problems, again, in a positive way. And so anger, therefore, can be something that is good. Let's talk for a minute then as we move to the next screen here about the Bible and anger. In the Old Testament, there are over 600 references to wrath or anger. And this particular theme is found in the New Testament as well. Anger, again, is part of God's nature. And so we can't just say blanketly, well, anger is bad. If we did that, then we would have a problem because God shows His wrath and His anger at times within the Bible. The Bible never criticizes the anger of God, but it is a warning, or we have various warnings within Scripture about how we use anger. And the reason is, of course, that God is perfect in everything that He does. God is wise, God is sovereign, God is powerful, God is all-knowing. Again, you can't find an angle to look at God and find any kind of deficiency. And so, therefore, because God never feels threatened, God never loses control, God always handles every situation properly, what we see is when God gets angry, it is a proper use of anger. And God is wrathful because He has a right to be wrathful. He has every reason to be wrathful, and what He does in that wrath and how He handles that anger is always a proper response. Now, that isn't true of us as humans, because you see, of all those things that God is, we're not. As humans, we misinterpret situations and circumstances. We make mistakes in judgment. We can't read other people's hearts. At times, we feel threatened or hurt. And sometimes we respond with great vindictiveness or vengeance. And therefore, man's anger, unlike God's anger, can be very dangerous, can be very detrimental. And so it behooves us to look at the example of God and how He displays His anger and how He deals with people with whom He is angry with, and be able to handle that properly in our own lives. What I want to show here on this next screen are five things to consider when you talk about anger, and I believe you'll find these in your Sunday talk there as you have it, the outline on page 3. But human anger, again, is not necessarily sinful. Jesus himself, while ministering in the flesh, in his earthly ministry on earth, showed anger. Over in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, the text says, "After looking around them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored." Jesus got upset with the lack of faith, with the materialistic and sinful attitudes of the people around him. And he looked around with anger, with wrath, and he was grieved in his heart that these people were so misled about this particular situation. So once again, as we see in the Old Testament, in dealing with God the Father and the many occasions of his wrath, we see here our Lord as well was moved with anger on this particular situation, yet he did so, of course, without sinning. We are created in the image of God. We know that from Genesis chapter 1. And that image, of course, not being a physical image, because God is not a physical being, he is a spiritual being, that image is that we are loaded with the very same emotions that God has. As God is happy and pleased with certain things, we are pleased and happy at certain things. As God is angry about certain things, we get angry about certain things. And so again, to say anger is sinful by itself would not be an accurate statement. But anger, when it is used by us in a wrong way, can be extremely harmful, extremely detrimental to our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. Sometimes we have an explosion of anger, and that's how we handle a particular situation. I think that's a very bad way to handle it. There are very few instances, if any, where we should take our anger and explode at somebody else. But unfortunately, that's what happens. We blow up. And sometimes we do things and we say things that we later regret. Now, the opposite of that, I think, is just as detrimental. Some people, instead of getting angry and they don't blow up, they don't explode, they internalize all of it. And believe it or not, that is the reason that some people are very depressed. That's not the only cause of depression, but one of the causes of depression is that people don't let their anger out. They internalize all of it, and then they get very down. They get very demoralized and so on and so forth. And what they really need is a catharsis. They need some way to positively, without harming relationships, get that anger out, and then that may help them, of course, with their depressed mood. Solomon said in Proverbs 16 and verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the Almighty," or the mighty, I should say, "and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." Truly, the proper handling of our emotions, the proper handling of our anger, it takes great strength. And he says here in these Proverbs, Solomon does, that greater is one who can handle his own anger than one who may actually rule over many people in a city. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, Solomon says, "Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools." Solomon, in his great wisdom, realized that anger was there but can be very detrimental. And it is the foolish who misuse anger. So he says, be careful how you are with your anger. Don't be eager to be angry. That doesn't work the works of God. That doesn't accomplish his will in your life or in somebody else's. So he says, don't be eager to do that. The third thing, as you see on the screen there, is that human anger often results from a distorted perception. We are not, and we, including myself for sure, we are not, as humans, always able to accurately judge between a real injustice and an apparent one. And we don't know the hearts and minds of others. We can't read one another's hearts. We can only look on the outside. And sometimes our assessment of a situation that's causing us great anger is something that we just don't assess properly. We don't know all the facts. We don't know all the ins and outs of why a person might say what they're saying or do what they're doing. And again, if it's a real injustice, then that needs to be dealt with. But sometimes it's not. That someone is dealing with something we don't know, and we really don't have a right to get angry because we just don't know the entire situation. We don't know the whole scope. You see, this is where God does, and this is why God has an accurate use of His anger. He understands and knows the hearts of men. He knows everything about the situations in which people live, and He knows exactly when to get angry and when not to get angry. Well, I think we need to realize as humans that we're not God, and sometimes our anger is not because we have a right to be angry. It's because of our own immaturities or lack of knowledge about the situation. If we had all the facts, chances are we might not be angry. If you've ever been angry or impatient about someone who's in front of you in line at the grocery store and think, well, why don't they just hurry up, you know? They're in my way, and I'm being slowed down because of them. Or maybe someone who's driving in front of you and they're just poking down the road and you get angry at them because of their lack of driving skills. You may not have the whole story. That person may be so incapacitated they're doing the very best job they can. They may not like the idea they're going slow either, or they're in front of you in line and holding you up. Again, you may not have a right to be angry at that person. They may be doing the very, very best job they can under the circumstances that they're living with or living under. And so therefore, we don't have a right to be angry at that person with whom maybe we are angry with. But anger and its problem is that it leads to worse things. If we don't get a handle on our anger, it's not the anger per se, but it's what the anger fosters that really gets us into trouble, which is number 4 there on your screen. Sometimes we want vengeance. We want to settle the score. And truly in our world today, that's how the world handles its anger. It says, well, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm going to get even. I'm going to settle the score. And they take vengeance in their own hands. And we know the Bible very explicitly says in Romans chapter 12, we're not to do that. We are to leave room for the vengeance of the Lord. He says, I will repay. That is not the proper Christian response. But sometimes our anger causes us to think that way and feel that way, that we want to set things right. We want to settle the score. We want to get even. And that's not how the Lord wants us to deal with it. And so our anger, while maybe justified in the sense we have suffered an injustice at the hand of somebody else, the way in which we've handled it is incorrect. Sometimes our anger leads to verbal abuse. Truly, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11 says, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Truly, it's what sometimes our anger gets us involved in that really gets us in trouble, not so much the anger itself. And believe it or not, human anger can be controlled. The Bible asks us to do that. God asks us to do that, and He would not ask us to do anything that wasn't possible. Now, will you overcome anger? Will you never get angry again? Probably not. That you know, you just can't totally dismiss it. It's part of your nature. It's been given you by God. But it is possible to control it. It is possible to get a handle on it. Acknowledge your anger. Realize that your outbursts can be and should be restrained. And realize that, again, there's some things you can do, and we're going to get to that here in just a moment, to put a handle and control that anger. Well, what causes anger? Anytime we study any of these particular problems like anxiety, and we'll talk about guilt in a couple weeks, and we've talked about loneliness, and this morning we're talking about anger. What is it that causes anger? Well, the legitimate cause that allows you to be angry is an injustice done against you. If someone has sinned against you and you have done nothing to precipitate that kind of behavior, you've not needled them or been an annoyance or whatever, you've just been living life as best you could, and yet you suffer an injustice, you have a right, therefore, because of that injustice, to be angry. This is what gets God angry. He blesses people. He is on folks' side. He pours rain on the just and the unjust. God is always good, and yet we sin against God. Therefore, God has a right to be angry with us. We have no reason to sin against Him, but we do. There's nothing in God's character that says, aha, I'm justified, Lord, in sinning. And so, therefore, God has a right to be angry when we sin. We have violated His nature and all of those good things which He has given us. If you suffer an injustice from another person, you have a right to be angry, but the bottom line is, how do you handle that anger. Sometimes we get frustrated, and more times than not, because we get angry because we're frustrated. Frustration is an obstacle that hinders our progress to a goal. We want to accomplish something. Maybe it's just driving from point A to point B. We get behind the slowpoke, and we get frustrated because, well, I'm not getting to point B as quickly as I want to get to point B. You know, as a very simple example. And sometimes then that frustration develops into full-blown anger. And again, we don't have a control as we should have control that way. If you're a person who gets frustrated easily, it's time to set back and reevaluate your own priorities and how you carry them out and try to work through those frustrations. Thirdly, we get angry because we're hurt. We're hurt because of other people and sometimes what they fail to do. You know, number one, there's an injustice, the idea people have done something to us that's wrong. This one is kind of the opposite of that, in that sometimes we feel very angry and very hurt because there are people who have failed to meet up to the expectations that we have for them. You know, people we ask to do something and then they don't do it. And we get hurt. We get angry. So, well, why didn't you do that? Well, I just didn't get it done. And sometimes that hurt and that feeling, that, well, you didn't carry out my wishes, can unfortunately degenerate into great anger because people fail to meet the expectations of them. But you know what? We do that every day with God, right? I mean, God has expectations of us. He's given us the perfect example in Jesus. He's given us His Word to guide our path, and yet we don't meet up to it. Well, God has a right at times then to be angry with us. But the great thing is, His love overrides that in Christ, as we'll see here in His forgiveness. But again, think it through. If you have a right to be angry with someone and they're failing to meet up of your expectations of them, just think how God must feel or has right to feel about you. And fourth, sometimes we just learn to be angry. Unfortunately, the role models that we might have had growing up or how we've been taught from the world says, well, when you're done that injustice and people don't meet up to what you think they ought to be and you're frustrated about something, then just get angry. It's all right. Well, again, the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry, but sin not. And so be careful in your learned response that you have to situations that may be out of your control. Anger can be there, but it needs to be controlled. It needs to be vented in such a way that it doesn't lead to any further sin. So, how do we do that? And if you're following along in your outline there and you'd like to fill in these blanks, let's talk about several things here in the balance of our lesson this morning that you can do, mainly to prevent and to handle anger, not necessarily do away with all of it. I don't think you can really do that. First, admit that you have a problem with anger. Yeah. That's the first step in solving any problem that you have, is just come to a full realization, yeah, I have a problem with anger. I get angry way too fast, way too quickly, and I let it get away from me. And if that's your situation, again, that doesn't make you a bad person. But it means there's a problem here we got to deal with, and you need to deal with, and let us help you deal with that. Secondly, consider the sources of your anger, which kind of goes right along there with number three, which is the art of evaluation. What is it that's making me angry? Why is it that I explode at times? Why is it that I maybe internalize it all at times and get very depressed? What is it that's causing the anger? And so you practice the art of evaluation. You say, why am I feeling anger instead of some other emotion? Which, you know, is really an interesting question to me because, you know, if you're waiting in line at the store and somebody in front of you is really slow and all, what you really ought to do is feel sorry for them. Not be angry with them. You know, they may be incapacitated in some way. They may be doing the very best they can, and it is slow. And it isn't as fast as you could do it. Or maybe they're driving down the road, and you're caught behind them, and that inconveniences you. But you know what? Feel sorry for them. They may be doing the very best they can behind the wheel. And that may not be good enough. That may not be the norm. So instead of getting angry, feel sorry for them. You know, think about that. Why am I feeling anger at this situation, whatever it might be, rather than some other emotion? There might actually be a more proper emotion than anger in a situation. And that's one way to handle it. Say, well, maybe instead of getting angry at this person, I ought to love them. Or maybe instead of getting angry at this situation, I ought to be patient with it. Maybe instead of getting angry at this situation, I need to know more facts so I know properly how to deal and correct the problem that's causing me to be angry. See, all these, I think, are better avenues of dealing with anger than just exploding that we sometimes do. You know, how might others view the situation that makes me angry? You ever seen people that seem to handle problems better than others? You know, they don't get real upset. They work through it. They think before they speak. Wow, what a great, you know, role model that is. So instead of getting angry, say, how would so-and-so handle this? How would Jesus handle this situation? Yeah, this is the art of evaluation, where you think it through and think of angles and think of situations to say, all right, there's probably a better way to handle this than my getting angry and, you know, running off the deep end by verbally exploding against somebody else. Number four, avoid those anger-arousing situations and people. Sometimes you can't always do that. Sometimes people you work with, sometimes people you socialize with, you just cross paths, and you're going to have to do that. But to a certain extent, you can put yourself in a situation to say, I'm not going to get in that situation. You know, if you get angry about certain situations, again, think it through and say, is there a way I can avoid this until I learn to deal with it? And if there is, that's a great way to cope with it until you can handle that situation in a better and a more positive Christian way. And so if you can avoid it, until you learn maturity in which to deal with it. And number five, then, avoid ruminating. Avoid ruminating. You know, this is a kind of thinking that is fun at first. And what we do when we ruminate, we rehearse the situation again and again and again in our mind. We're in a cycle. And when we first get in that cycle of rumination and we think, I just don't like this, this is making me mad, and it goes through our mind again and again and again, what we're doing is trying to establish our own superiority. We're saying, I know I'm better than this, and that person needs to get their act together, and you know they need to hustle up, or they need to do whatever, and we just roll this over in our mind, and it, for a while it feels good. But I guarantee you, it's kind of like that way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. Proverbs 14:12. Yeah, avoid ruminating. You sit on that, you roll that over to your mind several hundred times, it's going to bring you down, not make you better. It's the wrong attitude. The attitude should be one of understanding, one of forgiveness, one of coping, one of trying to find a solution here. To ruminate on the problem and keep moving it over in your mind usually causes the problem to be blown up into a false proportion. You make it much bigger than what it really is, and you're not trying to solve the problem. You're just trying to justify your own actions. And so avoid ruminating on it. Deal with it. Deal with it in a positive way by going to that person who's making you angry, or avoiding the situation that makes you angry, or trying to have the art of evaluation and say, how can I handle this in a more constructive way? So don't play that game. It's easy to get into that. It's easy to get into that particular mindset, but it's destructive in its end. Number six, practice self-control. And by this, resist your initial reaction. That's what you really ought to write in there. Resist your initial reaction. It's sad, but we're creatures of the flesh. And a lot of times that old carnal nature is going to come out, and it's going to come out before you know it. And so sometimes when the problem arises, resist that initial reaction, because it might not be the right one. For mature Christians who have trained themselves in godliness and in these situations, we'd hope the first reaction is a proper one. But that's not always the case. We're all different levels in our spiritual maturity. And so therefore, resist that initial reaction, which might be to explode, to get mad, to say something you would later regret. I think I told you of an individual who was very prone to being angry. We were in a meeting one time. Things weren't going the way he wanted the meeting to go, okay? It wasn't so much that he wasn't always getting his way. He wasn't stubborn or selfish that way, but, you know, he had a way he wanted that to go, and it just wasn't rolling that way, and he was getting mad. You could see the anger beginning to build within him. Finally, He just set his papers down. He said, excuse me for a minute. And he walked out of the meeting. Well, we continued on the meeting. He wasn't indispensable for what we were doing that day. He came back a few minutes later. He was fine. He resisted the initial reaction. His initial reaction was to get mad. His initial reaction was to tell somebody off or just try to set the record straight. But he excused himself. He went outside. He settled himself down. He came in much more calm, cool, and collected, and we finished the meeting. I thought that was fabulous. I really did. I said, here's a man that's getting it down. He's admitting his anger. He's considering the source. He's evaluating the situation, and he's avoiding it when he has to so he doesn't do something wrong, that he doesn't explode or whatever. And so truly, he was practicing self-control. He was resisting that initial reaction. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, Solomon says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah, that initial reaction is that harsh word. But all that does is just stir up additional anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Number 7, emphasize humility, confession, and forgiveness instead of getting angry. And why not? Are you perfect? Or does God have maybe reason to be angry with you? Have you done something against God and it's an injustice against Him? Yeah. Have you fallen short of your abilities and your talents and left things undone that you should have done in your life? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, just put yourself then in God's place. He has a right to be angry with you. But you don't want that. You don't want God angry with you. You want Him to be forgiving, and you want Him to be kind, and you want Him to be patient to you every time, you know, that you sin against Him. Aha. Uh-huh. That's the very key of handling the situation with others. To truly emphasize your own humility. Yeah, I could get mad at that person. Yeah, I could just really explode this situation. But, you know, God might explode in me. I think I'm going to be humble and realize I don't have my act together either. And you confess the fact that, yeah, I'm not perfect either, and I mess up, and I leave things undone, and so maybe I should cut that person some slack instead of getting angry with them. And as I want God to forgive me every time I sin, you know, I don't want God to just forgive me 99% of the times I sin. I want to forgive me every time I sin, and you do too. Then let's learn, instead of being angry, to extend forgiveness. Because that's exactly how we want God to treat us, so that's the way we need to treat others. And finally then this morning, grow spiritually. I don't know where you're at in your anger. You may be a person who can control your anger just fine. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you're to that point spiritually. Really, that's wonderful. Be a good example for those who can't. But maybe you're an individual sitting out there saying, I still haven't got a handle on my anger. I still get mad. I still blow up at times. I still ruminate. I still want vengeance in my heart. Well, it's time to grow spiritually. It's time to look at Jesus and realize that He didn't deal with us that way. And God didn't deal with us that way. And He doesn't want us to deal with others that way. That doesn't work the works of God. A slow decline in strife and jealousy and outbursts of anger is a way in which you become more Christ-like. You become more godly in the things that you do. What a wonderful thing it is to overcome and get a handle on your anger. Yes, you can be an overcomer. In Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who's against us? God's on your side. He wants you to overcome your anger. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. But nothing you can. We might plant ourselves out of fellowship with God because of our sin, but we're never out of the love of God. You can overcome your anger. Fact is, he says in Romans 8:37, in Christ we are more than conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer through Him. You can overcome your anger. You can do that which God wants you to do in being the person He wants you to be in those situations where you may feel the urge to be angry. We offer heaven's invitation this morning to those who need to give their life to Jesus Christ. That's a great way to handle anger, is to put away the entire old carnal fleshly self, bury him in the waters of baptism and becoming a Christian, and you'll walk in newness of life. Now, does that mean you'll never get angry again? Oh, no. But now it means that you're a child of God and you experience forgiveness. You've got the Holy Spirit living within you. You have brethren that will encourage you. And God will begin to bless you like He never has before. And you can beat that anger. You can beat whatever through Him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul said. If you have need to give your life to Jesus Christ, or as a child of God, overcome sin and repent of sin, whether it be anger or anything else, the invitation is for you. If you need to respond, do so now while we stand and sing.